Aryan nation, and you know they want Alaska to be independent as a white homeland. She also had some disparaging things to say about the native population of Alaska. Of course, the people that were there before the Europeans arrived, the Inuit people, calling them mucklucks. Anyway, we will be right back after this break. Talk about these and other issues. This is Wayne Mattson coming to you from Washington, D.C. on the Saturday Roundup. We'll be right back. Us, they're IDing us. And that brings me to this other point I wanted to talk about. The news came out this evening that, or today, that the mayor of St. Paul is dropping charges against some journalists who were arrested at the Republican National Convention, Uberfest, in St. Paul, including Democracy Now's Amy Goodman. The mayor shouldn't have arrested these people in the, to begin with. I mean, these cops who look like stormtroopers from Star Wars, the way they're the way they got these black things on, these hoods and these helmets and these goggles. I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous. These thugs actually is what they are. You know, the sad thing is that the mayor of St. Paul is a Democrat, Chris Coleman, not to be confused with the thoroughly horrible and revolting senator, Republican senator from that state, Norm Coleman. You know, Chris Coleman, people like this, he's a Vichy Democrat. I talk about the Republicans, but there are some Democrats who just fall right in goose-step, lockstep with the Republican Party, and Chris Coleman is certainly one of them. This past week, it became very apparent that, yours truly is, and my colleague, have been under surveillance by the feds. My colleague, was approached by, an FBI agent. I found out that, people have been asking questions, but it's not just me. It's not just, I want you to listen to this clip. This is former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, who spoke recently in Arizona. He's got a book out, and he was talking about how when he first became governor of Minnesota, the CIA is embedded in the Minnesota government. He says they're embedded in all state governments. They're not supposed to operate domestically, but, you know, after 9/11, even before 9/11, that wasn't true. But anyway, Ventura wanted to go on an official visit to Cuba. He did, but, of course, his wife had her passport suspended. The wife of the governor of Minnesota was not allowed to travel with him to Cuba. And when he went to Cuba, he was being tailed by CIA agents. The Cuban government, you know, their Secret Service, their police asked, do you want us to lose the tail? And I want you to listen to what Ventura told this group in Arizona about what happened after he came back from Cuba to Minnesota, and this meeting he had with this CIA guy in Minnesota. If we can play this clip of Ventura.
Got back to the United States. I'm in my office in the government, in the Capitol. And I look at my schedule, and there's this 2 o'clock meeting on my schedule that's blank. So I pull my chief of staff in, and I go, Stephen, what's this 2 o'clock meeting? Everything else has got what it is. This 2 o'clock meeting's blank. And my chief of staff kind of rolls his eyes. He goes, CIA. I said, oh, okay. Well, I knew, because they didn't need debriefing. I understand how it works. They came in, and I'd met them before. And in fact, the guy I met is the head of the whole region. He told me something very interesting. When 9/11 hit, that afternoon, I called him, wanting to know what I needed to know. Right? I said, what do you know? What's going on here? He said, we know nothing more than you know, Governor, at this time, but if I learn more, I'll let you know. He told me later, I was the only governor that bothered to call him. No other governors did. And I said, well, I'm the only governor that used to be a SEAL. I would know to call you. Your intelligence. I need intelligence. I'm going to call the people that are in that business. Well, anyway, these guys, two guys sat down, and They went through the typical questions, which I expected. What did Castro's health like? Did he seem to have all his mental capacities? All the typical questions, and I answered them all honestly. And they were finished then, and they're very formal. They're very, you know, the way they should be, you know, respectful and everything like that. And when they were finally done, they said, Governor, thank you very much. We're all done. And I said, you're all done? You're all finished? You don't want to ask me nothing more? He said, no. I said, there's nothing you want to tell me or anything else? I go, no, no, sir. I said, okay. I said, well, now I got something to tell you. And I said, I'll leave this up to your discretion. You take it where you think it needs to go. And I looked right at him. I said, if you ever put a tail on me again without telling me, I said, you're going to find your tail floating in the river. I said, now you take that back to wherever it needs to go. I was pissed.
Well, there you go. A governor of a state tailed by the CIA on an official visit to a foreign country. And, I mean, if it can happen to a governor, it can happen to any of us. We all know about Ted Kennedy was on a no-fly list. Al Gore twice was singled out to be have his carry-on luggage searched at the airport. We are so far gone in this country. We're well beyond the 11th hour. We're at about a minute to 12 for what's going on. And now we see all the signs of another stolen election. And I'll tell you, I agree with Ventura, though. You know, I think that's what we need to do, these guys. Anyone that tails an American citizen for no reason should wind up floating in a river or you know, these people shouldn't even be in this country. They are fascists. They're thugs. We know what Europe was under fascist domination, under Nazi rule, what the undergrounds were perfectly capable of doing, and they were quite successful because the Germans lost in a large part because of the underground movements in the various occupied nations. And I think Americans need to start thinking about that if this election is stolen. And I'm telling you, unless there's a miracle, the signs, and we'll talk about the signs. Let's go to Carl, who's holding on in Montreal. Carl, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I've been through the similar harassment, you know, by the Secret Service, thrown in jail, imprisoned on trumped-up charges. And I left the country and came to Canada. And then I was harassed by immigration here, you know, and detained and been through all sorts of hell. And, you know, I've had people coming around where I used to live asking questions about me, asking friends and family members and, you know, probably being monitored right now. So I know, you know, I left the U.S. because of this, you know, and I don't.
Well, and you've got Stephen Harper up there is nothing more than a provincial governor of the United States, a puppet, a total puppet. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're saying he may win. He may win an outright majority now.
Majority government. Yeah. And it was a guy in an article in the paper yesterday in the Montreal Gazette warning if that happens, you know, there is no more democracy in Canada, you know,
And we know how they stole the election in Mexico.
I believe intention here. I believe that is their intention, so Harper can get a majority government.
That's right, and it's to, you know, so we have the two countries that border the United States, Canada and Mexico, in the hip pockets of these neocons. Calderon stole the election in Mexico when the more progressive should have won, a guy who would have been very much in lockstep and in alliance with Morales and Chavez. And at least when you look to South America and some countries in Central America, they understand what's going on, and they're resisting. And I whoever thought that the fascists would be in North America and the progressive Democrats, small-D Democrats, would be in South America. But we have had a shift of the polar axis, politically speaking.
Yeah, I agree 100%, you know. Yeah, I've been through all sorts of hell with these people, and also, you know, I don't see it getting any better. I see this election just being just as controlled, the same exact thing, and people are probably going to vote for McCain, and they're going to be sorry they voted for him, just like they voted for Bush, Well, Bush got in there the second time, they regretted it, and I think they're going to regret McCain even worse. His popularity is probably going to be even lower than Bush's when, you know, he's finished.
At least Bush knows where Spain is. And, I'm the last person who I would never thought I would say this, but if there is a McCain-Palin administration, we'll be, believe it or not, we'll be wishing for the good old days of George W. Bush. And I never thought I'd say that because he's the worst president.
Thinking that Armageddon would come on Bush's watch. You know, if McCain is in there, I'd probably be up right under his watch.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, this Palin would wind up as the president in that case because McCain is very, very ill. He's just not well at all. The man is very, very sick. And so we'd be looking at this person who was just a few years ago firing the library director in Wasilla and the police chief and the head of the museum. I mean, this is what she's capable of doing. She's Hitler wearing a dress. That's all I could say about her. Except she doesn't have her religious ideas are nuttier and battier than even Hitler's because she actually thinks humans and dinosaurs existed at the same time.
Yeah, I know there are some who kind of believes along those lines, you know. I a lot of these, some kind of Christians, you know, have these different, you know, beliefs, you know. I think she mentioned how God is backing this war in Iraq. I think she made that comment, too.
Well, Bush also thought that, but this woman may actually believe it. She said she knows that humans and dinosaurs exist at the same time because she saw a human footprint in a dinosaur fossil footprint. Anyway, thanks for calling, Carl. We'll be right back after this break.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
1.
The preservation of capital.
2.
Consistent profitability. And
3.
The pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
He is the Republican Attorney General for Wisconsin, of Wisconsin. He is the co-chair for the Wisconsin McCain campaign, and he has filed suit in Wisconsin to deny voting privileges to maybe a million people because their voter registration address doesn't match their driver's license address. Now, let me tell you what that means. That means with this economy in the toilet, those people who are moving around quite a bit, going from job to job, moving maybe to a cheaper place to live, losing their house, moving into an apartment, if their voter registration does not match what's on their license, they will not be able to vote. This is what J.B. Van Hollen wants to do. Remember that name? Van Hollen, like Blackwell and like Harris, they need to go to prison because violating people's right to vote is a civil rights violation, pure and simple. Let's go to Clarence has been holding on in Oklahoma. Let's go to Clarence. Are you with us there?
Yes, Wayne. It's good to talk to you again. And I still can't say enough for your theme music because 40 years ago, about this time on a Saturday evening, I was in high school, and I lived from Saturday to Saturday to watch that movie, TV show, The Prisoner on CBS.
Yeah,
I literally did. I mean, during the summer, it was during summer break. I was off for the summer. There was a summer replacement series, and I mean, and I have the box set on DVD.
Oh,
I never would have believed it, you know. So it cost me a pretty penny, too. But at any rate, getting back to our subjects here at hand, you're right about, the last two elections have been stolen. That's clear.
Right.
And once you start doing that, the death knell for any, I prefer to call it a republic. You may prefer democracy, but, you know, whatever. That's the death knell for a representative form of government.
Right.
And you see, that's why the people of this country, I believe, that's why Congress has, an 8 or 9% approval rating?
Oh, yeah.
Look, once the government loses the faith of the people, then what's left?
Yeah, well, we know they're not representing us. We know they're representing the special interests.
Absolutely.
If they represented us, Bush and Cheney would have been impeached a long time ago. And when we need Peter Rodino as the House Judiciary Committee chairman, the guy that got rid of Nixon, we've got John Conyers, who I think is asleep most of the time.
He looked like he was on Valium or something, you know.
Well, believe me, there are some stories about what he may be on. I don't know if he's still, look, I had an old friend tell me, first time he met Conyers in his house office building. He said, "Would you like a drink, or would you like to do a little bit of this?" And you know, he had a bottle of whiskey, and he had a bag of pot. Sounds like he's still
there.
On
ain't
it.
No telling, yeah. But we gotta laugh, Wayne, because if we don't, I mean, it's so sad what's going on, and it's tragic what's going on, and it's dangerous what's going on. I could use any number of descriptive adjectives to describe what's going on here. But I know one thing. I've read Continuity of Government, which Bush signed. And have you ever seen that document, the Continuity of Government document?
Oh, absolutely. This all goes back, you're right, this all goes back to with Oliver North in the Reagan administration, mm-hmm. Rex 84 and Continuity Operation, Continuity Government. Putting together lists of people who would be rounded up in a national emergency. That's all been dusted off, except what were contingency plans then, I think, are actually our action plans today with these people. Because I asked people, I said, if they steal this election, what are you prepared to do? Well, I'm going to go to Congress. I said, well, how's that worked for you so far? I said, look, it's clear if they steal this election, what needs to happen. And, you know, they just say, oh, I don't want to get involved in anything that, you know. I said, wait a minute. How do you think this country was founded? I mean, it wasn't founded over a game of croquet on the front lawn. It was formed by people who took to the streets and launched a revolution.
They resisted.
They resisted. Now, let me tell you, I look back on that, and the British, what was that over? They had a stamp tax and a tax on tea. I mean, the British seemed like they were tame compared to what these people are doing today. And the American people just want to roll over and take it. And it's unbelievable. But, and all I can say is I look, you know, when I hear this stuff out of Latin America, Bolivar, the Bolivarian Revolution, they actually are living and breathing it there today because they had these fascist governments, military dictatorships, and juntas for years.
That were put in by the CIA, by and large.
Absolutely, and they're resisting now. And here we look around, and what do we have? And, you know, you look to the south. But anyway, Clarence, it was great to have you on.
Okay, nice to talk to you.
Yeah. Okay, and we'll leave with the prisoner music again. This is Wayne Mattson with the Saturday Roundup from Washington. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you tonight from Washington, D.C. It's 33 after the hour. Before we take our next call, I want you to listen to this clip of this moron, John McCain. He's on this radio show in Miami where he's asked if he would meet with the Spanish prime minister. They call it the president of government. So that the woman who's asking, the interviewer, is asking, would you meet President Zapatero, who's the prime minister of Spain, receive him at the White House? And then McCain starts talking about Mexico. I mean, he's insane. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So let's run this clip of the woman's voice you hear will be the Spanish interviewer.
Senator, finally, let's talk about Spain. If you're elected president, would you be willing to invite President José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero to the White House to meet with you?
I would be willing to meet with those leaders who our friends and want to work with us in a cooperative fashion. And by the way, President Calderon of Mexico is fighting a very, very tough fight against the drug cartels. And I'm glad we are now working in cooperation with the Mexican government on the Merida plan. And I intend to move forward with relations and invite as many of them as I can of those leaders to the White House.
Will that invitation be extended to the Zapatero government, to the president itself?
Honestly, I have to look at the relations and the situations and the priorities, but I can assure you I will establish closer relations with our friends, and I will stand up to those who want to do harm to the United States of America. I know how to do both.
So you have to wait and see if he's willing to meet with you, or you be able to do it in the White House?
Well, again, I don't... All I can tell you is that I have a clear record of working with leaders in the hemisphere that are friends with us and standing up to those who are not, and that's judged on the basis of the importance of our relationship with Latin America and the entire region.
Okay, what about you? I'm talking about the president of Spain. Are you willing to meet with him if you're elected president?
I am willing to meet with any leader who is dedicated to the same principles and philosophy that we are for human rights, democracy, and freedom. And I will stand up to those that do not.
Well, so Luis Zapatero basically is saying, as the president of the prime minister.
The poor reporter is trying to, she says, look, I'm not talking about Latin America. I'm talking about Spain. I'm talking about the leader of Spain. Would you be willing to meet with the leader of Spain? And McCain insists on talking about Mexico. I mean, and then he says he's going to stand up to people like Zapatero. So he's going to stand up to Spain. Last time I checked, they're a NATO country. They're supposed to be an ally. Unless McCain really does want to stand up to Spain, because, of course, when McCain joined the Navy, it was when we had the Spanish-American War. And, of course, that's his mindset. He thinks he's back sailing in the Great White Fleet of Teddy Roosevelt that took on the Spanish Empire. I mean, this guy, you know, when Sarah Palin said that she knows that humans and dinosaurs coexisted because she once saw a human footprint in a dinosaur's footprint, she was telling the truth. The footprint she saw was John McCain's footprint. I mean, this guy is so old. I mean, he doesn't belong in the White House. He belongs in a nursing home under 24-hour care. The guy is just one step away from starting to yell about his bowl not having enough applesauce in it because he's dribbled most of it down his bib. So there you have it. This caused quite a stir in Spain, this thing where, you know, McCain said he was going to stand up to Spain. I mean, what in the world is he talking about? Anyway, let's go to Renee, who's been holding on from North Carolina. Renee, are you with us?
Yes. I was calling about Pitbull Barbie. The thing is...
Oh, yes.
She actually admitted really what she is when she talked about that whole thing about difference between a pit bull and a hockey mom with lipstick. She kind of admitted what she is. Because if you... as a girl, I can talk about this. There were girls in high school, the only reason they were popular, they were so mean, everybody was
right.
Afraid of them. That's the type of girl she is. Remember her nickname in high school was Barracuda?
Sarah Barracuda.
Now, there's a clue, huh? That's a clue.
Although I understand the National Association of Barracudas may sue her for giving them a bad name.
So the thing is, but you know, I notice it is particularly these Neanderthal neocons. They love the mean girls because they do. And think about all the, you know, a lot of the Fox Broads and Babe Buchanan, Lynn Cheney. The thing is, they love the mean girls because in exchange for a little position and a pat on the head and, a position in the good old boys club, they'll go out and do the dirty work. And they will, I call these types of women the madams because they're like madams. They don't directly sell women, but in exchange for a little power and a little position in the pecking order, they sell out women.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Palin. Now this issue with the Trooper Gate, her husband has been subpoenaed by the state legislature. He's refused to show up. That's against the law. I've talked to people in Alaska. This is her MO. She doesn't care about the law. Who does that sound like? Bush and Cheney. She's going to be Dick Cheney with a dress on. But dumber. See, Dick Cheney's not stupid. He's evil and he's a crook. but he's not stupid. We're going to have Palin, who's actually stupid, but as nasty and evil-minded as Cheney, perhaps winding up as the president of the United States.
I had to laugh when I heard you say that. I told somebody the exact same thing you did the other day. I said, you know, we may look back, if Palin and McCain get in there, we may look back on Bush and Cheney as the good old days.
The good old days. Can you imagine the good old days of Bush and Cheney? that's a nightmare in itself. I want to play this. If you can hold on, I want to play this clip. This is an ITN news broadcast about what's going on in Alaska. If we have that clip, let's just play that because it goes to show how Palin ignores the law.
The abuse of power investigation against Sarah Palin has taken a potentially ominous turn. Lawmakers have voted to subpoena her husband. Republican efforts to delay the probe until after the November elections have been thwarted. Bill Wielichowski sits in the Senate on behalf of Alaska, the state Palin governs. He thinks the investigation should go ahead.
The very idea that we would delay something until after an election, I just disagree with that. That politicizes that all the more. The election should have absolutely nothing to do with our decision. Absolutely nothing. The fact that there is an election, we can't ignore that. I mean, but we should.
Palin's being investigated for dismissing Alaska's Director for Public Safety, Walt Monaghan. Critics say she fired him after he refused to dismiss Mike Wooten, a state trooper who had a messy divorce with the governor's sister. That's why her husband Todd's been issued with a subpoena, because if what the critics say is true, then it would be an abuse of power. However, the people of her hometown in Wasilla don't think the investigation will actually come to
anything. We don't have to listen to the people in Wasilla, because obviously many of the people in Wasilla are in her hip pocket, but I would point out that I've heard from some people in Wasilla who actually have said that she is power hungry, and as mayor, and also what they've seen since she's been governor. So there you have it. I mean, that's what kind of person we have. Just look at her track record in Alaska. She's not a maverick. She's a lawbreaker. She doesn't care about the rules and regulations and the laws of that state. What's she going to do if she becomes vice president, or in fact, you know, with McCain's health being the way it is, both physical and mental, she could wind up as president. So, are you still with us?
I was here. I was trying to move to another room because my dog's doing barking.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, well, I can understand why we're talking about Palin and McCain. That would make any dog bark.
Yeah, I guess they smell some caribou Barbie.
Right, absolutely. But anyway, so that's basically her. I mean, they're saying that, you know, Obama doesn't have the experience. My God, I mean, he's from Chicago. You realize that there are more people in one ward in Chicago than in the entire city of Wasilla?
And from what I understand, Alaska is known for its corruption. See, I think maybe some of the advisors thought it's so far, it's not in the lower 48, we can keep a lid on it, nobody will find out. That's the only thing I can figure out.
Well, look at Ted Stevens. He's under indictment. The Republican Congressman Don Young could be indicted any time. I mean, this is a state where every Republican in office is either under indictment, under investigation, or already sitting in a prison. And then I don't think Palin is any different. How could she be a maverick? She's part of the operation. She's part of the oil. Her husband works for British Petroleum up on the North Slope. She was involved in some kind of suspicious deal with a pipeline from Canada into Alaska. So here we go again with another oil person, possibly in the White House. It's time to, you know what it's time to do? We need to nationalize the oil companies and get them out of politics. These big wealthy oil men.
Yeah, but you know why they won't do that? You see, anything that's profitable, they keep. They only nationalize and give us debt. They don't give us anything that makes a profit.
Well, they're nationalizing Right, they're nationalizing Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers and all these. With a company that ought to be nationalized, they ought to be nationalizing oil companies. And let these other bankers and all these, let them file for unemployment, you know, like many of the rest of us have had to put up with as they've been putting their hands in our pockets. But anyway, Renee, it was good talking to you. Okay, thanks for calling in. And let's go to Deborah, who's been holding on in Baltimore. Are you with us, Deborah?
I am. How are you?
Hi.
I just got your latest book in the mail today. I am so excited because I love Jaded Task. And how do you not buy a book called Overthrowing a Fascist Regime on $15 a day? I'm all about that.
Yeah, don't try to get on it. Don't try to go get on an airplane if that book is in view. You might have trouble with the TSA.
Are you kidding? I'll hand them out.
Well, thank you.
And you know, I mean, in terms of, you know, we know what's wrong. We all know what's wrong. I think this country is finally getting it together in terms of we know what's wrong. We know, you know, the people that we put in power are not there for our best interests at all.
No.
And, you know, so here we are. Let's come up with solutions. My solution is I'm going to run for Congress in Maryland.
Oh, well,
I may not,
super.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
and they're not going to like
posted.
My
well, I'll get your link to your campaign website up. I've actually heard from some other folks that readers who are running for office around the country. So that'd be great. And
yeah,
I
think that's what you need too. You need to get active. You cannot let the powers that be make you feel that because you're not in the pockets of the corporation, you have no voice. There are so many people out here. That are so angry and are so, you know, have had it. I know.
Now we see they wouldn't do. You know, can you imagine McCain wants to privatize Social Security and invest it in the stock market? What, the one that collapsed this past week?
Yeah.
I mean, this is
and
how
that's
insane
an outrage
this guy.
Of it. It's an outrage. Was all a planned collapse. I mean, that was all. You know, it's shades of 1929 all over again.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Only this
yeah,
is gonna
absolutely.
Be so much worse because they didn't have credit cards back in the day, and now you can't.
They don't call them John McHoover for nothing. I mentioned what was going on in Wisconsin with the new Ken Blackwell and the new Catherine Harris, this J.B. Van Hollen, but it's not just there. There are reports of voter caging in Ohio, Michigan, and get this, in Florida, an individual got a thing in the mail in Collier County that said, thank you for being registered as a Republican. Please send this this card in to confirm that you're a registered Republican. The only problem is the guy that got that is the chairman of the Collier County Democratic Party. Now, he's complained. There's been 100 of these incidents in that county alone. They found out this is what the GOP is doing across the state. In Alabama, the prison commissioner said he was forced to stop registering prisoners to vote in the election because of pressure from the Republican governor there. So here we see it all across the country. And
oh, I think it's
going to
be
Department?
So much wider yeah. than 2004 ever was. I
oh,
think
they're better at it. See, they're better
yeah.
at it. They worked out the kinks in the system. And now
exactly.
we won't even see maybe the long lines, although it's probably going to happen in certain areas. They're going to steal this without... Yeah.
Don't you think those lines are just going to be the distraction du jour on it? I mean, they're not going to really tell. I mean, they'll tell part of the story, but the whole story is that you've got these voting machines that can be hacked, can be set up.
Right.
You know,
right.
the jig. I mean, it's up. It was
yes,
up
right, absolutely.
4 years
yeah.
ago.
Oh, well, there is a big change. You know, Diebold changed the name of their company. It's now called Premier Election Systems (PES).
Oh.
So that's the big change. By the way, they're still rigged. Don't worry about that. They're still rigged. They're, and they're rigged better than when they were before. And, you know, it was before they could put a little, like, a little, like, plastic card in there to flip the votes. Now they can probably just do that by dialing in or over some sort of a network. And I've reported already there's this stuff is going on in Chattanooga and in a town called Enterprise in Alabama. And these boiler shops are up and operating to hack this election. And where's the FBI? The FBI's busy harassing my colleagues.
And grandmothers.
And grandmothers. And, you know, so this is what they should be doing is investigating election theft, grand election theft 2008. And of course they're not doing it because the FBI is nothing more than a political police force. They're there not to enforce the laws. They're there to enforce, the policies of the Republican fascist government of this country.
Exactly. And speaking of fascism, did you see in the Army Times they're bringing in a whole brigade starting October 1st into the United States of America back from Iraq?
Oh, wonderful. Renee, we'll have to leave it there. We're up on a break. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report. We'll come back to you right after this break. It's 50 after the hour. Welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you tonight from Washington, D.C. Before we took the break, I was talking about the thuggery of the Republican Party. We've got Karl Rove. He should be in a supermax. You know where Karl Rove actually should be in one of those contraptions that Hannibal Lecter was in. He should be actually fastened to something, shackled. He shouldn't be anywhere near, certainly nowhere near a computer or a telephone. This guy is just an arch criminal. And he's it was better when he was actually in government, because when he was in government, at least we could keep an eye on him. Now that he's out of government, we don't know what he's up to, but I can tell you that he's got his fingerprints all over this election fraud, around the United States, because he did it before. He's going to do it again. And Palin is just part of this construct, because Karl Rove has been a political dirty tricks operator since the days of, this guy's had a long career at this, since the days of Donald Segretti. Now, he was Nixon's dirty tricks guy, but he went to prison. That's when we actually enforced the laws of the land, unlike today, where these people just basically thumb their nose at the law and do what they please. The election, the reports of election problems are real. They're being reported. The one the situation in Wisconsin is being reported right now in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That is not a conspiracy rag. That's not a conspiracy website. It's a very old newspaper, and they're talking about how the election is being fixed. A million people disenfranchised, up to a million people in the state of Wisconsin alone. That's one of the battleground states. And if that one, if they tip Wisconsin, they could tip the election. And it'll be close, but they'll tip it. They always do this. They'll tip it in favor of the Republican candidate. And then, of course, the Democrats will say, oh, it was close, we didn't make it. And they won't investigate anything. They're not investigating anything right now in all the reports in Ohio and other places that Democrats have rolled over. They are complicit. They are the Vichy Democrats. And if they steal this election, you know, people say, what are we going to do? Well, people say, go to Congress. Let me suggest what needs to be done if they steal this election. It's just like occupied Europe. Look to what those countries did that were occupied by the Nazis. They had an active underground movement. They also, like with the Free French, they actually had to have people abroad to conduct the resistance. So that's what I think we're looking at here. We're going to have Americans abroad, far away from the long, and that's not Canada, because if Harper wins that election and gets that majority, like our previous caller mentioned from Montreal, Canada just becomes a state of the United States. That border disappears, and so don't look to Canada. You're gonna have to look far farther away. Possibly, maybe that's why McCain doesn't like Zapatero of Spain. Zapatero is a socialist. He, of course, is somewhat supportive of what's going on in South America, but, you know, it might come as news to John McCain. Spain is not in South America. But I think that was a little bit of McCain racism. You know, Arizona, it mentioned Spain. Well, that's the same as Mexico, right? Anyway, thanks for being with us, folks. We'll be back this time next week here on the Saturday Roundup, and we'll leave you with the theme song from the Virginian, of course, because many of our founders were good old Virginians. Wish they were back to launch a second revolution. Thanks for being with us.